According to Vogue magazine, having a boyfriend, it might as well just be embarrassing. Yep, you heard that right. They wrote the article, quote, "Is having a boyfriend embarrassing now?" by Shantae Joseph. And of course, the damn thing went viral. I mean, how original, right? Next thing you know, they're going to have this Muppet, maybe a Taylor Swift, showing up to football games to showing just how much in her real man era she is and how totally relatable she is. Oh, never mind. Been there, done that. And when a major fashion and cultural magazine drops a line like that, you know the internet is going to light up on flames. But here's the thing. I don't believe having a boyfriend is embarrassing. I believe how we're treating relationships is. So today, we're going to unpack the who, what, when, where, why, and of course, a little bit of my own unfiltered take, because that's what we do here. Welcome to Bridget Unfiltered. I'm your host, Bridget. Buckle up, because we're going to talk about it. Shantae Joseph, great name, is an award-winning British writer. She's a presenter. She's a digital content producer whose work spans major cultural outlets, including British Vogue, The Guardian, and Vice. After earning a degree in social policy from the University of Bristol in 2018, she went on to build a career in digital journalism, content strategy, and a little thing that I know about, podcast hosting, including working as a host of The Guardian's Pop Cultural Podcast. Her work covers first-person reportage. She does cultural commentary and celebrity profiles. And although Joseph is publicly known for her writing and broadcasting, it seems from my research that she keeps her personal life private. Basically, published sources do not list a spouse or partner, nor any public statements have been made regarding her sexual orientation. I am well aware that there is going to be listeners that are going to say, Bridget, why do we care about her sexual orientation? Ugh, why do we care where she comes from? Or why do we care about her if she has a partner or if she's single or anything? Well, Karen, when a story goes viral, especially one that shapes public opinion or even challenges our values, understanding that author's background isn't at all about discrediting them, but it's about context. We live in a time where people are consuming headlines faster than they can form their own thought process. You know, narratives and rumors spread before facts do. Knowing who is speaking, their lived experiences, their intentions, their history, and the lens through which they view the world helps us as the readers who are consuming our own way of, how do I explain it? Our own way of, okay, I'm getting the facts, quote unquote, or I'm getting this person's perspective. Which one is it? It's a lot like when girls tell guys, listen, I don't care that you cheated. Honestly, I don't care. I care that you lied to me, because you lying to me didn't give me a chance to make my own mind up about the situation. You know, like if you cheat, I don't care. Do you, but know that that is my deal breaker. I won't stand for it. So if you lie to me, I don't know that you cheated. So I'm not able to make up my own mind. And if we don't understand the writer's backgrounds when it comes to things that blow up like this, obviously we can't know every single storyteller, every single person's history, but as a due diligence, especially when this is my career, that I need to get perspective from all over the place. But I also have my own show, so I am filtering those facts and giving you my perspective, which is why if you go back to the beginning of this show, which started a couple years ago, season one, it's why I have given you guys my background. We're not going to rehash. We're not going to retell the story. Been there, done that. It's a wrap. But if you go back, then these episodes and future lets you understand, oh, okay. That's, I remember she said it in, you know, episode 2 of season 3 of what happened to her on set. So now this is why she's developing her own perspective. So when you listen, you can discern and you can gain your own wisdom as to what you feel internally and not be conditioned. Because the more they do this, the more influence without awareness. In an era where society is deeply impressionable and driven by social trends, celebrity outtakes of what they think on the red carpet, and TikTok, that if we don't understand such storytellers' background, then we're going to have influence without awareness. And that could be considered conditioning. After reading the article, which I wouldn't have, mind you, if it wasn't for the show, I wouldn't have read the article. Things like that just don't interest me at all. I'm in such a phase of, if I'm going to read something, I want to listen to something that nourishes me so that when I come and entertain you, I can give you a more robust and fuller opinion versus a very narrow-minded, you know, either Bible Belt, Mississippi, or extreme Democrat, liberal New York. You can't be such polar opposites. There's only one way to be, and that's kind, that's gentle, that's, in my case, feminine. And I love men. I do. I love men in terms of, even though with my history, I love men because they are our providers. They are the backbone of a society that functions well. So an article that says, nope, men are essentially embarrassing to have, I wouldn't have read it, but here we are. Shantae gathers quotes from women who say, and I quote,
I'm in a relationship, but I won't post him online. I'm single and I'm thriving. Being partnered feels like such a status symbol gone stale.
Guys, totally. That's what it says. And the article reports what many of us were already feeling, that the cultural is definitely shifting from relationship status. They're shifting from relationship status to decentering men and basically a full feminist achievement model. Why did it all blow up like this? I think it touched a nerve. I think women and men are reevaluating what being a partner means in 2025. I think that social media has changed the game. Hard launching your man, it used to be so cute. And now it could cost you followers. I know that way too well. And it kind of flips the script. Being single is now positioned not as a detriment, but as a total flex. And the article absolutely captures that. So yes, it is trending, but as we'll see, trending doesn't always equal truth. This Vogue piece says, quote, being partnered doesn't affirm your womanhood anymore. It is no longer considered an achievement, end quote. Okay, the observation is valid. The tone feels like a cop-out. Don't shoot me. It's easier to label boyfriends as embarrassing than it is to ask, well, why are we still using relationships to define us, right? I think it's a cultural fail because it shifts responsibility off the actual problem. And it lands on it being in a partnership. Like I mentioned earlier, it used to be where you'd post your boyfriend and it was so cute. And I say boyfriend because it's once you're engaged, it's a wrap. Don't look at me. Don't breathe on me. That's it, right? Until you're engaged, I don't consider having a boyfriend to be necessary for public knowledge. Why? Because as a female, especially one like myself, with my past, luckily I'm at a point in my life that I've learned and I've gone through, but there's a whole generation of women younger than me who have no idea that you're gonna go through trials and tribulations. The guy that you're in love with at 12 years old, at 15 years old, at 21, at even 25, is most likely not your end-all be-all if that's what you want. And it's not even so much that you have to go out there and fuck everything that walks. Coming from my background, that's humorous, isn't it? But I beg you to bear with me here. My past gave me an incredible knowledge because of how many men I came across between the strip club, between the conventions, etc. So when I tell you that I don't have a PhD in psychology, I have nothing to do with the, you know, nitty-gritty of atoms and neutrons and relationships. What I do have under my belt is years of meeting women who hated me, men who wanted to sleep with me, couples who had no idea what to do with me when they met me together because a girl wanted to seem cute and like me even though under her breath she wished I was dead because her man was doing the most when he come across one of my movies. And of course, I was part of a problem, but that's not what this episode is all about. By my entire existence of adulthood has been surrounded by the male gaze. And when you get that so often, at what point does it stop? At what point do you stop asking for it? Well, I never asked for it. My work just gave it to me automatically. So when I would go on dates, no one wanted to date, quote unquote, the real me. Everyone wanted to date the experience. So I went on many dates, but that doesn't mean I fucked everyone, which is why we only went on first dates. And it pissed them off because they thought that, oh, I'm on a date with Bridget B. It's a sure thing. No, sir, it was not, because I had to go to work the next day and I don't know what you have disease-wise. There's no way I would sleep with you. And we discussed this in episode 2 or 3 ago, that for as much as people thought that a porn star is so damn dirty, it's quite the opposite when you're in the top 1% echelon of the industry. So that phase of my life over, I went abstinent, and then I got into a emotionally fulfilling relationship that taught me so much. And one of them being that the way I used to think doesn't work because that no longer serves me. So me posting a relationship 100% makes the male gaze dwindle. Hence, why so many females that are in social media, doing content creating, I'm not even at all showing tits and ass. For some reason, the average male population goes, fuck it, I'm not following her anymore. She's got a dude. Well, no, Billy Bob. Just because you're following and showing support, are you following and showing support because you thought you were going to sleep with us? How does that work? So the conditioning that us as females, because of social media, something that we didn't experience at all back in the day, because if back in the day without social media, I went to, let's say, the most public of places, let's say a basketball game. I've never been courtside of a basketball game. That's never the kind of girl that I was. But let's just say, for shits and giggles, the equivalent of social media would be going front and sitting on the front row of a basketball game, right? Well, if I was so popular and so famous, you would see me. And right away, you would look as to who I was sitting next to. And if you saw that I was sitting next to a guy, you would assume it's my man. If you saw me sitting next to a girl, you assume I was sleeping with one of the players. But what y'all don't know is that the game works like this. The girl gets invited by the basketball player, and she sits next to his agent, a good friend of his, and it looks like she's with him, but really, she's with the basketball player. So why is that important? Why is that a little nugget of information that I found worthy for you to know? Because it's all fake. None of it is real. You have certain platforms and you have certain aspects of journalism. You have news reports that, depending on where your mind frame is, aka if you're a conservative, where are you going to go look for your news? If you're a liberal, where are you going to go and get your news? And I'm sorry for anyone who's like in the middle, which it really should be all of us. None of us should be left or right, but that's another episode. Your perspective, again, going back to why it's important to know where these writers are coming from, shapes everything that you take in, everything that you read, and everything that you listen to. So going back to being at the front row of a basketball game, if you're coming from a position of life where you pretty much don't consider every girl to be a hoe, you will see a pretty girl in the front row and be like, oh, isn't that nice? Maybe it's her birthday present from her agent. But society has been conditioned so much for pretty girls to be considered all hoes, and that if there's a pretty girl in the front row, boom, she's a hoe. So when you take that into social media, speaking from experience, when you post yourself and you would love to scream it from the rooftops that you're dating so-and-so, but your livelihood is dependent on people's perspective of you. What do? Well, you go one of two ways. You go the path of authenticity. You go the path of fuck what y'all think. I'm going to live my life. And you can also go the other way of I'm going to play the game and I'm going to give them what they want. That is a hard pill to swallow. And that is why society is just so impressionable. And speaking from firsthand experience, whereas Bridget B, the adult entertainer, had to be all tenacious on all social medias when it was so embarrassing. I cringe at the fact of how much I had to post because I had obligations. I had, you know, Brazzers, I had Naughty America, I had these major studios that in order for me to get hired for the next movie, I had to be popular. Or else what's the point? There's no point of showing your entire inner intestines on screen if you're not going to come out as the best of the best, whatever that means. And that was my mentality. And it got to the point where I had to stop following friends. I had to stop posting my friends when we'd go out because my Instagram is a business. And I actually posted something about 2 days ago where I wrote, new friends that I build now in my everyday life, they want to post all the time, and I love them for that. But for me to post them on my Instagram, it doesn't serve a purpose because my Instagrams are for the public, and I don't have a personal Instagram. Bob, Joseph, Mary, Jennifer, Jessica, Billy Bob from Montana. No one cares what I'm going to eat for breakfast. But what you do care is what I'm posting. Is it authentic to me? And that's where the game becomes yours. Am I going to post for the male gaze? Or am I going to post to give you what's like in my heart, but in a visual way, because it's still fun. It's still entertaining. You can't base all of your thoughts in life on what people post on social media. So there is an entire world of branding, etc. And that's neither here nor there. But when it comes to Vogue and it comes to these articles, it's so important because this impressionable younger generation absorbs it so much that it will create an entire new generation of feminists, of I don't give a fuck about men, you know, Okay, Karen, if you are thinking like that so much, I bet you 10 to 1, and I'll put $1 million on it, that if you have two men in front of you and one of them opens the door, knows what you want to eat at the restaurant and orders for you, holds your hand and makes sure that you are standing in the inner portion of the sidewalk, opens the door when you are walking into a restaurant or, you know, that game, that basketball game, versus a guy who goes, well, you can open your own door. Okay, you want to go 50-50? Great. Okay, well, I'm going to stay at home and you're going to go out and work so that your whole feminine energy is so drained, you're exhausted, and you want nothing to do with me when you do come home. And then after 5 years of that bullshit, I'm going to leave you because I'm looking for a female, a woman that can love me and nourish me and make me feel like a king of my house so that I can go out and provide that paycheck so that you can be home and take care of the kids. Which one are you going to pick? They all think that men being shit is that, you know, flex. And I'm like, no, it's not. But I know why you think that is. And that's because we've experienced it through social media. You who are listening might be that guy who unfollows because you're, you know, favorite looking girl has a boyfriend instead of showing her support and being like, good for you, girl. Hope it works out. You know, I'm supporting you. I'm not being a creep. You know, my distance is a distance because it is social media. So I'm going to absorb it as entertainment and let it go instead of being so harped up on it and getting so pissed that you unfollow her. And now she is seeing that. She sees the trend because as soon as she posted that picture, she saw her followers drop 2% and now she will never post again. So here's where I lean in on all of this. This idea that having a boyfriend is embarrassing is a total fail. Not because partnership can't be valid, but because what's being blamed isn't the relationship status, it's the unhealthy narrative around it. Let me break it down. If you're only valued by being with someone, then your sense of worth is being dependent on the having another person next to you. Well, we know that's not true. If you're hiding your partner because you're ashamed of him or ashamed of how you look attached, well, that's not protecting your privacy. It's masking a full insecurity. And if society treats our relationships as a performance, aka hard launches, couple content, you know, these highlight reels of it, then we're losing authenticity just from the jump because a female can't be her true self because she'll lose her followers. And again, this isn't about all content creators. Again, this is just speaking from experience. So the authenticity that is craved for by quote unquote the public isn't really that. And once you can differentiate that as a content creator and as a female that is on social media, you can very much navigate. And I've done that. I mastered it. And it still all came from a place of wanting to be myself. If I wanted to, and I did a couple of years ago, even up to a couple of years ago, show so much tits and ass in order to get more viewership on Pornhub, I knew what I had to do. So I was being authentic to what my goal was at the moment. But much to the grace of life, much to the grace of God, you hit a moment and there's a hard stop. You gather yourself, you do the internal work, you do your shadow work, you go into isolation like I have. You get into a relationship that made you think so much that when you lost the relationship, you're like, oh shit, I get it now. And you are grateful for the journey, but that journey was never going to work because the mentality was still on, well, I can't be authentic because I'm still working. And once I stopped that frame of mind, once I stopped performing, which took a couple of hard years, it took at least these past 2 years, where I could be just myself, that is where all of this is fun now. I'm having a great time. And I'm not saying that I'm fully into my spiritual side. I'm still a baby at it. I am at a point where I'm almost there. Like, I'm almost there. And I am being proven every single day more and more just how deep the love of Jesus and God is in my soul, that I am not alone, that I am not just a female worthy of a male gaze because of her tits and ass. And the mission that I have is so much greater because, like I said in the beginning of the episode, I cherish males. I believe that a hardworking, God-fearing, family-loving, you know, woman-respected, woman-respecting male is so vital to our society, so that when you guys open our doors, when you guys are guiding us in a restaurant, when you guys are being providers, when you guys are letting us lean into our feminine, there's nothing fucking better. And when that point comes and we announce it to the world, woo, you know that's the one. I used to date from a very different place, a place where attention felt like safety, validation felt like love, and relationships just felt like my proof that I am worthy, right? When I was an adult entertainer, I wasn't just navigating men. I was navigating their projection on me. I learned very early on that people don't date you. They date their idea of you. And sometimes that idea was 100% built on fantasy and not reality. Men thought they already knew me. They thought that the proximity to me meant a storyline for them. They weren't pursuing me. They were pursuing what they assumed being with someone like me meant. Back then, I didn't fully understand my worth beyond the image of Bridget B. I didn't yet know the strength in being unseen, the power in my mystery, because that was gone, or how liberating it was to not perform intimacy, but actually feel it. I confused availability with connection and attention with devotion. Because when the world claps for you, you start thinking that the applause equals love. But the applause fades. And when it does, you're left with quiet. And it was a quiet that I once feared. And now I crave it like peace after a big storm. And now today, speaking today in my authentic self, I date completely differently. And it's not because I became softer, but because I became different internally. When your maker enters your life, you stop asking the world for validation because it was never theirs to give you. And my boundaries aren't like stone walls. They're just me being in alignment. And they aren't punishment. They're my protection. Now, if someone wants access to me, they're not getting the highlight reel on Instagram. They're meeting a healed woman, a woman who listens to her spirit before her loneliness, and a woman who knows that intimacy is sacred and that her energy is expensive. Because I'm not dating to be chosen anymore. No, I'm already chosen. I've been chosen. My creator chose me a long time ago before I was even a thought in someone's embryo and sperm count. It's so liberating. I move slower now. I speak softer, but my standards are much higher, which is interesting because one of the overall narratives that the average guy gives me, and I say guy because women haven't caught on yet. That's not my demographic so much. And that could be many things, but I hate to say that it is the prettiness of it all. But there are, as much as there is pretty privilege, there's also a whole lot of bullshit that comes with it. And I'm not saying that I'm pretty for everyone. Oh, God, no. I love myself, don't get me wrong, but I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And that's completely fine. If you like a girl that it's the girl next door and, you know, she has no tits and she's a little brunette and she's super cute, that ain't me. We're not even going to sugarcoat that one. I love my glam. I'm still but I've always loved it. And I didn't do it even back then for men. I did it because I loved doing it, which is what made me successful. I performed, but the performance was based around a natural femininity of mine, which gets overlooked as being a hoe bag. It's like, God forbid a pretty girl walks around confident, walks around with a little bit of makeup and enjoys getting dressed up and enjoys her outfit, because already, oh, she's performing for the guys. You know, she's a hoe bag. I'll never understand that. But that's neither here nor there. What I think that the difference between myself then and now isn't just lifestyle, but it's leadership. I'm being so vulnerable in telling you that God didn't just refine how I see men, He refined how I see myself. And once you see yourself through His eyes, embarrassment shifts. Being in the wrong relationship, that's embarrassing. Pretending for social approval, that's embarrassing. Abandoning your peace to be chosen, that's embarrassing. But having a boyfriend rooted in character, respect, emotional safety, there's nothing embarrassing about that, ladies. That's awesome. That's beautiful. That's divine intervention. And if the world ever tries to make you, my ladies that are listening, feel cringe about that, well, listen, I'm telling you right now, that says more about their relationship with themselves than yours with your partner or your maker. And guys, don't let articles like this influence you either, because you are needed, you are respected, you are wanted, and you are loved. When you give us what we need and you're not a piece of shit. For this week's Dear Bridget segment, visit www.theunfilteredsociety.com. It's a space that is an extension of the podcast, and there you get more tidbits and more info, and it's a community of all of us here who are just trying to be a part of a solution and not part of the problem. Again, that's www.theunfilteredsociety.com. Let's wrap it up in a pretty little bow. There's a lot of things that I think the article missed, but that's not my place because I'm not the writer of it. Luckily, we all have First Amendment, and that's the beauty of this country. But in my point of view, I don't think relationships are the problem, but the way we treat them. The way we treat them like props, like trophies, or like a social media PR move. We don't need a hard launch or prove anything. We don't need to shame singleness. We also don't need to shame being part of a relationship. We just need to stop performing our lives for strangers and start respecting the parts of ourselves only someone who truly sees us gets to know. So no, having a boyfriend isn't embarrassing. Settling is. Hiding someone you care about because you think love makes you look weak, that's embarrassing. Pretending that a connection is cringe because being vulnerable scares you, that's not being empowered. That's your ego. There's nothing embarrassing about love. The only shame is in pretending that we don't crave what we were designed for. Intimacy, partnership, peace, and truth. And if this era wants to glamorize solitude, that's fine. Solitude is sacred. I've been in it. I've done my due diligence. But connection is too. So Let the world debate whether being in a relationship is embarrassing. I'll be over here choosing peace, choosing alignment, choosing God's path for whatever my heart is going to be involved in, whether that's solitude or being in a partnership. Because at the end of the day, trends, they will expire, ladies and gentlemen, but real love doesn't. Thank you so much for sitting with me through all of this. This was fun. I wasn't expecting this article to come out like that. So I enjoy doing these deep dives with you. If you felt the click when someone said your relationship status made you look basic, then this was definitely for you, okay? Subscribe wherever you listen. Follow at Bridget Unfiltered for more behind the mic thoughts. And tell me, do you think having a boyfriend is embarrassing? Do you think having a girlfriend is embarrassing? Or is it something else? I mean, who knows? Who knows what the media is going to come up with next week? Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for being here on Bridget Unfiltered. Stay honest, love yourself, but most important, always stay unfiltered. Because you know when you're unfiltered, you're just being honest. Mwah. Bye.